Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oakmont Country Club, where the rough is lush. It looks like Sean's backyard right before his wife tells him to cut it. The fairways are in pristine shape. It rained this morning. The first cut of rough, maybe about a yard wide. These players are so good, you might be able to spin the ball out of it. Next cut, this is graduated rough. The next cut's about 3 inches. You can advance the ball. The final cut of rough, which looks like John's backyard, 6 inches. I walked in it this morning. I swore I had sneakers on when I was out there. I think I did. It's lush. Sean, good afternoon.
Great afternoon to you, sir. Love the pictures you were sharing with us yesterday. We posted them on our photo section at stevejonesshow.com, and you're going to paint the picture on what's going to be a phenomenal weekend at Oakmont.
Danny Willett is the only man that can win the Grand Slam this year. Why? Because he won the Masters. Danny Willett on the excitement of winning the Masters and also about going after his second major.
No, it's been great. Everything's kind of settling down a little bit more now like we presumed it would. Obviously, onto the second major of the year now where everyone's trying to work hard. People are trying to peak the games to try and take home the trophy on Sunday here. So, we're trying to do our best to do the same.
And I know you've just come in and have only played 9 holes, but can you give some first impressions on Oakmont?
It's a great golf course, great fun. There's a lot of different shots you can play. I actually remember watching Cabrera a little bit back in 07, and he obviously took it relatively aggressive off the tee, and we played it slightly different yesterday. I think it gives you a lot of options off the tee, depending on how aggressive you want to play. But then you've got to be really careful on where you place the ball in around the green. So, I think the onus is on fairways and greens this week, definitely. To try and give yourself the easiest way of making par, I guess.
Excellent. We'll open it to questions. The gentleman with the microphones on the aisle, Doug.
Just curious, Danny, your definition of great fun?
It's just, I think that gives you a lot of options, you know. It's a lot of golf courses you pitch up to and everyone's hitting driver here, everyone's hitting a 2-iron down this hole, but this place gives you, you know, a lot of options depending on how aggressive you want to be, depending on how comfortable you are of either laying back off a tee or trying to get a wedge in your hands and trying to spin it, obviously, to these firm greens. So, I think you're going to see a lot of different plays around this golf course, which I think is great.
Question on the left aisle.
Danny, obviously you're the only man here who can win the calendar Grand Slam this year. But given how close Jordan Spieth got to it, how well he played, does that give you a bit more belief to even dream thinking about it?
I mean, it's what Jordan did last year was awesome. It's not been seen that for a while, obviously since Tiger's days. I think you look at the standard of golf through the field. I think if Rosie's fit and well, I think it's projected that all top 50 are going to, you know, peg it up this week, it's not happened that much over the last 10 years. I think it's only happened twice in all majors for all the top 50 to play. So you look at the strength of the field and, it'd be fantastic to even be somewhere there or thereabouts come Sunday. But, we're just going to have to play golf and see what happens. Hopefully we can be somewhere there and get a little bit of a feeling for it.
And just to follow up, if I may, does this kind of test where 5 over par won it, as you say, when Cabrera won, does this kind of test something you look forward to, or do you just sort of think, well, I've just got to get on with it this week?
No, I think it's a good test. It's US Opens are always, are always tough. Obviously, the last 2 years, Pinehurst and Chambers Bay, you've seen the scoring a little bit different to what you would have seen in previous years. Usually these places are just brutal. You've just got to hit good shot after good shot after good shot. Hopefully make a few putts. And like you say, 5 over par around this golf course after playing a few holes yesterday for 4 rounds is a pretty good score. So Yeah, again, conditions-wise, depends on what they want to do with the golf course, how firm they want to get it to play. They've kind of said to us that the greens aren't going to get any quicker than what they were yesterday, which is somewhere between 13 and 14, which is pretty quick, especially on the slopes that they've got around this golf course. So, I think hopefully weather-dependent, we're set for a great week.
Question on the right aisle. Oh, you're set? Okay. Becca, we're on the left.
Hi, Danny. Jordan was saying yesterday that when he was closing it out at Chambers Bay last year, his caddy kept saying, remember, you've got one of these already, and it made it slightly easier for him. Can you imagine that you'd feel the same in the same situation on Sunday?
I guess it's easier a little bit, in a sense that, yeah, you've already won a major, so you're not trying to push massively hard, you know, but we've all got our own different goals. I'm sure inside he was listening to Grella saying that, but he was wanting it more and more because he'd obviously had it, you know, earlier on that year. So, it's just the things we try to tell ourselves, I guess, to distract from how big these occasions are. You know, when you're at major championships and you compete and you've got chances to win, I guess in your own head you're trying to play it down, as we all probably are, to try and make it easier to let yourself play the golf that you know you can play and free it up a little bit. That's kind of my take on how people would go about doing it and why you'd say something like that. As you know, obviously, yeah, it's nice that you've already got one, but because you've already got one, you want another one, and then you want another one and another one. So I think you put the pressure on yourself inside anyway.
Can I also ask just about your preparation? Very different to the Masters, having the family over. Do you feel that much more relaxed going in?
We had a good couple of weeks at home doing some bits, and obviously flew out Sunday with the family. So a little bit different practice. Obviously, we've not played this place before, so yeah, we played 9 holes yesterday. We're going to go out and play 9 or 18 today, and just see how we feel and what we want to do. If there's any tee shots or any holes particularly we want to play, and just kind of mill around for the next 2 days, and just really make sure that we feel comfortable on every shot. Well, as comfortable as you can feel on every shot around this golf course. So that's what the next 4 hours entails, really, is just to make sure that, you know, come Thursday morning when we peg it up, there's a game plan in place there that hopefully is as good a one as what we can come up with.
Question right in front.
Yeah, at what point, Danny, did the euphoria of that Masters win for you kind of start to wear off a little bit as you kind of tried to start to move forward again and refocus on it?
I don't think it will for a while. It's still there, you know. It's still a great achievement. Doesn't mean that you know. Doesn't mean that you get home and you don't work hard and you don't practice, you don't train. You know, yeah, we had a few weeks celebrating and stuff. Then it was obviously when we made the decision that we were going to play the players, it's back to business and try and get some work done. Now we've had an extra month, you know, since the players played a couple of tournaments back home, played okay, showed signs of some good golf in there, but still a little bit of rust and some bad shots in there. So we've had a couple of weeks at home practicing, and I guess it's not that it's going to wear off ever, but there is now another job at hand, and that's trying to get us as well prepared as we can for this week.
Two questions in the center, in front first.
Danny, after following up the major with that rusty shots, those breakfast ball plays, how do you make what you did with the BMW with that third place finish and being able to translate that into a course such as this?
Yeah, Wentworth's a pretty tough golf course. Same kind of thing around that place as fairways and greens. The misses around there again are pretty brutal, and you can rack up some numbers as we did a few times. The one thing I'd say around this place is that you're probably not going to see a ton of birdies. It is going to be a lot of pars, as I said, and trying to limit your mistakes, you know, to when you do get it out of position. So hopefully we can keep it on the fairways and keep it on the greens and make life as stress-free as possible. I'm just looking forward to my first US Open on a golf course that I've notoriously watched growing up. You know, tight fairways, thick rough, back to kind of how people see US Open golf. It's good fun to be back here and to be part of it and playing.
That is the Masters champ, Danny Willett. He is the only guy this year that can win the Grand Slam. Now, Jennifer Wakeman felt a lot better a couple of years ago when I said Adam Scott was the only one. But now all he can do is play spoiler. I'm sorry, Sean. That's all Adam Scott can do. Play spoiler.
How many times did she text you yesterday? Did you talk to him yet?
I was actually out there when he was hitting on the range. So it was interesting watching Spieth yesterday. Spieth and McIlroy were the two guys in the range that hit a fair amount of drivers. I found that interesting. The 2013 champ at Marriott, Justin Rose. Next, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
The show to Marion in 2013. It was a duel down the stretch between Phil Mickelson and Justin Rose. Mickelson surprisingly finished second. He's only done that six times. By the way, Mickelson was not at Oakmont yesterday. You know where he was? He wasn't even in Pennsylvania yesterday.
I know this one.
He went to California for his daughter's eighth grade graduation.
Don't blame him one bit.
And then flew back. To be honest with you, and we'll hear from Jason Day in the next hour, the world number one, but Day took 3 months off. Do you know that? Day took 3 months off from golf. He played a four-hole exhibition or something like that. That was it. But he says, you know, you need to get away from it sometimes. Oh, Mickelson flies back. I mean, this is what Jack Nicklaus used to do. Nicklaus used to go back. If you hear it from the Nicklaus kids, you'll hear that each one, Dad never missed anything. Piano recital, Little League game, basketball game, something, football game. Dad never missed. They now totally appreciate what it took for Dad to get back and watch. 2013 U.S. Open champ at Marion. A guy a lot of people thought had a major game in Justin Rose, and now a major from 3 years ago here in Pennsylvania under his belt.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's the U.S. Open, so every time you get to a tournament of this magnitude, it's some, you know, it's special. It feels different to the regular tournaments, but you know, a few of the venues do offer something extra. You know, obviously Marion had its own unique history, and obviously the golf course is, you know, famed for that, and obviously with the baskets and, you know, Pebble Beach, for example, and then, you know, Oakmont is right up there as well with being one of the most historic courses, and I think it adds a little bit of extra, especially when, you know, the U.S. Open is often about the toughest test in golf, and I think Oakmont sort of having that reputation of potentially being the toughest course in America week in, week out, I think it kind of suits the U.S. Open really well and gives this tournament and this week something special.
You played here in 2007, finished tied for 10th. Does any of that come back to some thoughts about being back at Oakmont compared to, as we said, 9 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's just nice to know. I think I was in and around the lead for the most part from Thursday through Sunday, and I think I was in the top 10 all week. So, yeah, I mean, knowing I've done it, knowing I've played the course to a decent level obviously helps. Can I really remember exactly how the course played and what my game plan was? Not really. I think that, you know, my game has changed and evolved over the years, so it's good to sort of see it through a fresh pair of eyes this week. But obviously just having that confidence that I know that I've obviously been there and done it around here to a certain extent and, you know, was in the hunt is obviously something to build upon this week.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll open it to questions. Right in front first. Here's the microphone.
Hey, Justin. Toughest tests in golf. Are these the toughest greens in golf? And what makes these greens so different and more challenging than a lot of the other places you go to?
I mean, Yeah, they are incredibly. They probably are the toughest greens in golf, based upon the fact that just off the green you have very, very thick rough, and when you're pitching to the green out of very, very thick rough, you know, it's very unpredictable how the ball's going to come out exactly. You know, Augusta National, I would say that the greens are just as severe, but you have a little bit more control on the ball at all times. You know, you're playing out of short grass, and it's more predictable. So, yeah, the combination of both of those makes it incredibly tough. I think that there was talk of the greens rolling 16 or something on Monday, Sunday, which is probably a test, you know, the greens keepers and whatever, just trying to figure out how far they can push them and where they're at. So obviously those sorts of numbers are, you know, unheard of really, but it's obviously fun to play. You've got to relish that sort of attitude anyway at this golf course. And what I like about it is it makes strategy so much more important. Missing on the correct side of the hole, giving yourself half a chance to get the ball up and down. I think that that's where it, you know, having the greens being as severe as they are, yes, it's a putting test, but it's also a strategic test with your iron play to keep hitting it in the right spot below the hole. So, you know, I like the way it sets up from that point of view.
Question all the way in the back.
Justin, could you just tell me how much practice you've gotten in the last days and weeks, how you found the course playing? And I have heard the word brutal many times in the last 2 days, so I'm just wondering your thoughts on.
Yeah, I mean, I actually it's been a race against the clock, really, for me to be fit and ready to play here. Since the Players' Championship, I've sort of been recovering from a bad back, you know, flared-up disc, and just really been working around the clock. I've done everything humanly possible to be here from a recovery point of view, from a fitness point of view, from a practice point of view. But there's no doubt I've had to, you know, my practice schedule's certainly been on the light side, limiting the number of balls I've been hitting. I only started hitting the driver 2 or 3 days ago. So, you know, it's definitely been a tight timetable, but I'm confident that I've done a lot of the really hard work, especially in the gym, especially sort of, you know, re-engaging, you know, all the strength around the core and all of that stuff that's going to support me this week. So it's been interesting. I'm coming in fresh, which is the great news. I think obviously this golf course is going to require a huge amount of patience. And I think that having that quiet time to sit back and assess my game and assess the challenge this week and coming in with the freshness, I think could be an advantage come the end of the week.
That is Justin Rose, U.S. Open champ 3 years ago at Marion. Now we're scratching the surface. Let's see. Who would you like to hear from, Sean?
Well, let's see. He said Jason Day will be next hour.
Yeah, so I mentioned that.
That's right.
Who else would you like to hear from?
Okay, so Phil wasn't there. How about Rory?
We will hear from Rory McIlroy.
Awesome.
Next hour. So that's the world number one and the world number three. It probably would be cool if we had the world number two on, don't you? Who do you think that might be? Jordan Spieth. Next half hour, Jordan Spieth and the world number five, Ricky Fowler. This isn't a bad lineup, I don't think.
You're cooking.
John Saraceno tomorrow. Sports Bozo of the Day. The other day, we've got multiple nominees today. It's unbelievable. People that just are aching to always be in the news.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. As we get ready for the U.S. Open Golf Championship, among other things, obviously, on the line here. And
It's, you know, it's Oakmont's a great golf course. We're going to talk in just a few moments about not only about Oakmont, but also we're going to hear from Ricky Fowler in this half hour as well. Still to come, Rory McIlroy and Jason Day. Time now for this day in sports history. You know, I found a major difference between this and covering this in Pocono. You know what that was? Several of the drivers at Pocono kept mentioning to me something about a restraining order in the station. I don't know what that meant.
You have to worry about that this week.
It's like these guys were like, hey, great to see you. Okay, good. Let's see. 1909, Benjamin Scheib was given the patent for the Cork Baseball Center. Big day for the Indians bullpen, 1925. The Philadelphia A's, down by 11 runs in the bottom of the eighth inning, beat the Indians 17-15. The next day, closer fired. 1938, Johnny Vandermeer, the only man ever to throw back-to-back no-hitters. He threw one on June 11th. He came back on June 15th, threw another one. The Cardinals beat the New York Giants 1952, 14-12. They were down 11-0 in the fifth inning. Giants bullpen, like the Indians bullpen, fired. 1963, Juan Marichal, the great Juan Marichal, threw a no-hitter. First Giants pitcher to throw a no-hitter since Carl Hubble in 1929. 1977, the Mets dealt Tom Seaver to the Reds. 1980, Jack Nicklaus, his fourth U.S. Open title at Baltusrol. 1993, Ken Griffey Jr., 100th career home run, sixth youngest to get to 100. 1995, O.J. Simpson was asked to put on a pair of gloves at the trial. The gloves appeared not to fit. And in 2005, the Yankees announced plans for a new $800 million stadium, which right now is the price for seats behind home plate. The plans called for the building to be next to the old Yankee Stadium and be ready for the 2009 season.
Get greedy out.
So, yeah. I think it's probably a good. Well, let's get to another way, or make par another way. The outstanding player that he is, Jordan Spieth, and, I mean, really is outstanding. He's already won a Masters, a U.S. Open. He has actually won twice this year. He is known more, obviously, for the fact that his Masters didn't go the way he had hoped. Okay? It did not. And he had the lead. Everyone talks about how he, quote, blew the lead. But when you look back at the Masters, you realize the only round he shot in the 60s was the first round when he shot 66. All his other rounds were 73-74, the final three rounds. He's won twice this year, including the what turned out to be a very important win, the Dean and DeLuca at Colonial. So, our opportunity now to listen in on Jordan Spieth.
Well, each week it's just kind of weird how much can happen in a year. And it was a fantastic rest of the season, springboarded by Chambers Bay and the Masters last year. And into this season, it's been a nice start to this season as well. This is where it really gets ramped up. I mean, my next five events, pending scheduling changes, are all very, very, or either majors, the Olympics, World Golf Championship. I mean, it just feels like the first half of the year is done. This is how we can kind of start to finish off the year strong, into the Ryder Cup. So, U.S. Open has been a wearing the U.S. Open champion kind of flag, I guess, is the easiest way to put it, has been a tremendous honor for me. I was fortunate to win a couple USGA championships as a junior, and to win the ultimate one, the highest honor in the USGA, has been fantastic. You know, I reflected on it as, you know, we conquered the hardest test in golf, and that takes place once a year, and it's at one of the hardest venues this year.
You've certainly worn that banner well. Before we turn it over for questions, I would just like to ask, I know you've been here a few times to Oakmont. Can you just talk a little bit about first impressions of Oakmont?
I played 27 holes maybe 6 weeks ago, and it was it was a very tough golf course. As everyone knows, it always plays that way then, but it has definitely changed significantly since then. I played a full round yesterday, and I played 9 holes today. It's in just, you know, immaculate condition. I thought with the wind yesterday, it would have been, I would have signed probably for somewhere around 75, 76, and shaking everyone's hand and said, I'm going to go back and have a beer after that, after that round. But today, with less wind, I thought that it was more playable. Still extremely challenging, where par's a great score. But I thought that if you hit the ball where you were looking, you could have birdie opportunities on quite a few holes. But at the same time, again, like I said 6 weeks ago, I said I'd sign for even par. I think I'd certainly sign. I don't think anyone's going to be in the red at the come 72 holes. So it'll be a challenge, but I'm certainly looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. We'll open it to questions. If you'll get the attention of the gentleman in the blue shirts, right in the middle.
Hi, Jordan. I know, as you said, the course changed since the last time you were here. Does it change what you do off the tee, maybe with some iron selections? And how will you play number 17?
Play number 17?
17, the one up the hill, the par 4, the drivable one.
Yeah. 7 or 17?
17.
Okay. It's much firmer. It plays shorter than 6 weeks ago. So definitely I'm hitting less club off some of the tees. 17, I like driver right now. That right bunker, I hit from all different parts of it to all different pins, and felt like if I hit the shot I'm capable of out of that bunker, then I was left with a birdie chance that would require two really solid shots from a layup and a really solid wedge just to get to that point. So it's been downwind. Downwind, I like that play, getting it up near the green. Even though the left rough is brutal, you can still hit the green from it, pending an average to good lie. If the wind changes and the tees are back, I think I'll lay up. But it's all going to depend on the conditions.
Next question in the back. Dave?
Jordan, back here. Just assess for us the difference in the speed of the greens from when you saw them 6 weeks ago to now. Obviously, they would be different, and also compare them to, say, Augusta or other major championship venues you've played.
Yeah, I'd call them when we played 6 weeks ago, they had come off maybe 4 straight days of pretty heavy rain, so it was softer and a bit slower than I think it normally even is for the members. So it's faster than it was then by probably a couple feet. How do I compare them to Augusta? Pretty similar. Yeah, you have a lot of similar putts from mid-range to short range, where you've got to use a lot of feel, and it's very much speed-based. You really just have to be careful. You can't let your mind slip on these greens for one moment, or else you're going to be left with possibly a 10 to 15 footer on the next putt, if not worse. So really have to be conscious of it. I think they putt very similar to Augusta, and that some places are more severe.
Question right in the center. Doug?
Jordan, when you look back to last year, and you're thrilled and elated to have won the U.S. Open, is there any part of that celebration internally that's muted in feeling sorry for a guy who kind of had his own little incident on the 18th? And maybe how that compares to your feeling at Augusta, when it was fairly clear that was yours the entire week. That makes sense.
Yeah, of course. I think Augusta helped me realize my feelings for not only my U.S. Open win, but also the other side of things. That was, I could say I experienced the other side of things in the 2014 Masters, but it was a bit different, obviously. I think at the time, I told myself, listen, this is a 72-hole event. If Dustin three putts on the last hole, I three putted 16. That could have been number 8 and 12. You know, it just is more significant because of where it happened. But everyone was three putting. People are going to three putt this week. It just happens at a U.S. Open, and it just happened to be on the last hole on a very, very difficult putt that he had. That first putt. There's nothing taken away from my win last year off of that, and there's nothing taken away from Danny Willett's win at the Masters this year. And I think that the more you look at it as there's no pictures on scorecards, you just count them up at the end of 72, you can dissect everything in between, because it's kind of how we dissect it, because we want to learn from the good and the bad. You guys dissect it because that's the news on the round and how the tournament played out. But ultimately, when I look back, I don't remember Dustin's putt. I remember us winning the U.S. Open.
That is Jordan Spieth handling that question with the great class that you would expect. Yesterday he was out there signing autographs, repeatedly asked several people, how does one spell Jennifer? Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Adam Scott's her guy, right?
That's right.
Well, he refused to sign. I'm just kidding. It's not true. It's about as nice a guy as there is out there in the tour. By the way, Mike Davis, who gets his fair share of criticism, he sets up the U.S. Open. Today, they decided to take the primary rough, which I thought was around 6 inches when I walked in it. He says it's 5 inches. They cut it today. You know what they cut it from 5 inches to? 4.5. But they allowed the secondary rough to grow from 2.5 to 3.5. Now, the first cut of rough is about 1.5 inches. Then you get to this next one, it's going to be 2.5 to 3.5, and the last one's going to be 4.5. But it'll start, they cut it today, it's going to start growing again. It's going to be almost, as Ernie Yell said yesterday, he says, I don't know what chemicals they put in that thing here. He says, but it sure does grow. Yeah, it grows all right. All right. Ricky Fowler next. Rory McIlroy next half hour. The world number one, Jason Day, final half hour. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
We were at Pocono a couple of years ago, and all the drivers just acted so nervous. I said, what's the deal? And they said, you didn't bring the suit with you, did you?
I go, I didn't have that issue yesterday at all. I don't know. What is it about the suit and the race car drivers?
Notice the suit before officially becoming the suit. The suit.
All right. Ricky Fowler, world number 5. In the top 5, though, he's the guy that has not won a major. But he's been close. He's been second 3 different times. He's won the Players' Championship along the way. Did that a year ago. And in terms of course preparation, Oakmont brings with it a special test.
Yeah, I think I have 4 full rounds in. So getting to know the golf course a bit better. I don't think you can play enough rounds here to really know it. But you know, some of the craziest greens I've ever played and most penal fairway bunkers I've entered, and trying to stay out of those as much as possible this week. So, you know, it's a very I mean, it's a fair golf course. You just got to be on the right side of the hole. You got to drive the ball well. A lot of characteristics of a typical tough and hard U.S. Open. So, you know, ball striking is going to be key this week. You know, playing well tee to green. I don't see many putts being made, but it will be a bonus if you're able to roll a couple in. Like I said, yeah, it's. I think this golf tournament's going to be won from, you know, good driving and putting the ball in the proper position into the green.
You'll be playing your first two rounds with Rory and Danny Willett. Rory was here earlier and said that he's been able to practice with you a little bit. What is that pairing? You know, is that a great pairing? And how important is that heading into the first few days of what promises to be a difficult test?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to, you know, playing alongside Rory and Danny as well. You know, both of them playing well. Danny coming off the win at the Masters, and you know, Rory's been playing. He's been playing well for quite some time now, and we get to spend some time together. We practiced a bit together back home in Jupiter, and I think we've played 18 this morning. We played 9 yesterday, so we've seen a lot of each other past week, and more to come.
More to come. Great. We'll open it to questions. If you'd raise your hand, the gentleman with the microphones will come over. Left aisle.
Ricky, you talked about the ball striking. I was talking with Butch earlier, and he said even though you've kind of struggled the last couple of weeks, your ball striking's never been better. Does that give you a little added confidence going into a week like this?
Yeah, tee to green, I feel like I've been it's still been very good. You know, the only reason that I've struggled a little bit here and there is just because I've been a little bit frustrated with the putting, and that can sometimes leak over into driving the ball and then hitting a good shot into the green. So I'm looking forward to seeing the ball go back in the hole. I've been putting well past few years. I feel like I've always been a strong putter, and to not see putts go in the past few tournaments is tough. It's a fine line. Miss a cup by a shot or two, and the difference of doing that versus having a chance to play on the weekend and get myself in the mix. So yeah, hopefully we can continue to draw on the strong ball striking. And like I said, this golf course is tee to green is really where you can put yourself in good and safe positions where you're not struggling to make pars.
Question right in front on the right.
You mentioned the crazy greens, but as far as the receptivity of the greens, how does that affect how you're going to play from tee all the way to the hole?
I think at times it not forces you, but it allows you to play a bit more aggressive off the tee to give yourself an easier approach shot possible. You know, coming into some of the greens with a short iron or possibly a wedge versus a mid iron is going to be pretty beneficial. One hole in particular, number 3, the green kind of slightly falls away from you, and if you're coming in there with a 6 and 7 iron, if you don't hit your spot perfectly, you're going to be over the back, and it's a tough up and down. Whereas if you're coming in there with a wedge and 9 iron, it's a lot easier to stop the ball, and you don't have to be as precise.
So you see taking on some more risk off the tee as being worthwhile ultimately?
To a certain extent. I mean, you can't try and be very aggressive on this golf course. You kind of have to take what it gives you. You can't try and, you know, push it too much. There's some holes where it's just as wide with driver as it is with a driving iron or a 3-wood, and I feel like I hit my driver just about as straight as any of those. So I'd rather take my chances of having the shorter iron in and you know, having a chance of possibly being able to play aggressive and get a shot close versus just trying to get one on the green.
That is Ricky Fowler. He expects to use the driver, maybe more so than some. The best driver of the golf ball on the tour right now is Rory McIlroy. He is the best driver of the ball on the tour. And not only that, but McIlroy does not spray it. When you look at Spieth, Jordan Spieth's problem, and he worked heavy on the driver yesterday in the practice range, when I was over observing him yesterday. McIlroy worked a lot on the driver as well, but we're going to hear from McIlroy in the next half hour. McIlroy gets more distance than anybody. He's relatively straight. But you know what McIlroy's problem is? McIlroy is not a great wedge player. He's a good to decent wedge player,
but not a great wedge player. He actually is a great mid-iron player. Great mid-iron player. Yeah. You want to put a 7 or 8 iron in his hand? He's fabulous. Wedge, he actually struggles with that part. Now, the guy that's brilliant with a wedge is Phil Mickelson. It's interesting. They talk about driving it straight. Mickelson has a tendency over 72 holes to bring the gallery into play. Yet he's finished sixth in this thing, or finished second in this thing, 6 times. All right, Masters champ Danny Willett, 2013 champ Justin Rose, world number 2 and defending champion Jordan Spieth, world number 5 Ricky Fowler. We haven't heard from world number 1 or world number 3. I think we'll do that next hour. World number 3, Rory McIlroy. Final half hour, world number 1, Jason Day. We hope you're enjoying our U.S. Open preview. It's brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.